You see, God allowed the enemy to push into the territory, deep into the most prominent tribes, for humiliation. Humiliation of the people, Judah and Benjamin and Ephraim, these renowned tribes. What a sad commentary of the wages of sin. You know, I've had friends, and one in particular, and he was really instrumental in my life when I first got saved out on the North Shore. I still remember him being at our house and just talking, and came from Costa Mesa under Chuck and stuff. And he was an inspiration, but then he backslid.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou, e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in the Book of Repeat Offenders, Judges chapter 10.
We'll be blessed because we came. You will be blessed because.
Not a real long chapter, and it doesn't seem like some of these judges are doing too much. There's not a whole lot said about them. But one thing about that is, I think when you have a society and you have, you know, a culture and leadership that hasn't a lot of drama in it, those are very peaceful times. And so some of the ones we look at, there's a lot of drama in that. But here we don't see a lot. But there's a lot to say about it. So let's begin in Judges chapter 10, and let's look at the first five verses, and we'll talk about that and continue on after that. Now, verse 1, it said, after Abimelech died, Tola, the son of Pua, the son of Dudu, a man of Issachar, yes, that's his name, I'll explain it in a moment, a man of Issachar arose to save Israel. And he lived in Shamir, in the hill country of Ephraim, and he judged Israel 23 years. Then he died and was buried in Shamir. And after him, Jair, the Gileadite, arose and judged Israel 22 years. And he had 30 sons who rode on 30 donkeys, and they had 30 cities in the land of Gilead, and they that are called Havoc Jerah to this day, and Jair died and was buried in Kamon. Now, here's a couple champions. You could call them champions, deliverers, you can call them judges, but they're really deliverers in Israel. And the first one is Tola. He's of the tribe of Issachar, and he's grandson, I used to say, because I didn't like to pronounce the word, I used to say Dodo. That's what it looks like. Dodo, but it's really Dudu. And, you know, usually, you know, you have little kids grow up, did you Dudu in your pants? So you don't like to say that. I didn't, so I always changed it until I went to Israel. And David, our tour guide, as we were going around, his friends would call him Dudu. Dudu, because it means loving. And so it's an affectionate name. And so that's really the term there. And it's a real loving term. And so notice he lived in the hill country or the highlands, the mountain region of Ephraim. And he judged Israel 23 years. He died and he was buried in Shamir. He was a local boy. He really grew up in that area and he died in that area. So he was raised and he died, a hometown boy. And it seems like the rain was very mellow. Judged Israel 23 years, died in his hometown. Not a whole lot to say, you know, when you live in a time of peace and serenity and there's not a lot of drama that's going on in your reign. And I like that. That's kind of who I am. I like it where it's very mellow and it's nice and you can predict it and it goes along really smooth and comfortable. I don't like it when there's a lot of turmoil, a lot of drama and everything is happening. Some people can live in that space. I know sometimes we have to, but I prefer the reign of a guy like Tola. Now, remember, it wasn't an easy reign because he was tasked with and called to recover all that Abimelech, if you were with us last time, that Abimelech had squandered. He had killed his brothers to get to reign, and he squandered. So here, Tola had to rebuild the nation. He had to restore integrity. He had to gain confidence in the government again because it was all gone. You know how it is when you have people reigning that are just doing really, really bad things. That next person has to, when they come on the scene, they have to undo all that stuff, you know, with other nations locally and also in internationally. And so that's what Tola had to do. Now, hard to follow when you have corrupt and bad leadership, when you have bad preaching and their doctrine, when you have bad living and lifestyle, hard to regain the trust of the people because they've been so turned off by what they've seen and what they've experienced, maybe for a lot of years. So this has been a while that they have had to, you know, to live under Abimelech. And so now he's got to regain ground. And it's interesting, he bore the ancestor's name. He was named after one of his ancestors, and you see it in Genesis 46, verse 18, the son of Issachar, Tola. And so he was named after that ancestor. But that means worm. The name means worm. To live up to or to undo a certain name. And I think for Tola, you know, that name worm, he had to kind of overcome that. I know that because my name is Stonebreaker, all my friends growing up in high school, they called me Stony. Stony, not because I got stoned. It wasn't that at all. I didn't. That wasn't me. But sometimes you have certain nicknames. We had a guy, I'm just remembering this. We had a guy when we were building out the facility, big local guy, a tall guy, huge guy. His name was Punkin. Punkin. Calling him Punkin. And I had to go up and I said, "How did you get the name Punkin? You're a giant guy." And he said, "Well, my grandmother always called me Punkin." And so, you know, it's interesting nicknames. I think for Tola, he wasn't ashamed. He wasn't ashamed of the name, not at all. He rose to the occasion because God had a purpose for him, a purpose to lead the nation, undo everything that his predecessor had done. And so he did. He did it well. You know, it's interesting with Jesus. You have a psalm, Psalm 22:6, and it's a prophecy of Jesus where he cries out, "I am a worm and not a man." Tola, worm, spelled a little different. T-O-W-L-A, a Tola worm, or I'm red. That's what it means, red or crimson scarlet. Because when you think of Jesus, that's what he did. I am a worm. I shed my blood, crimson blood. The Bible tells us, "Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Isaiah 1:18. You see, it's speaking about the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. So it's interesting when you have some reputation or something named after you, you could rise even above that or beyond that, especially when you're called of God. Now, the same Jair, same thing kind of with him. He doesn't have much of a spectacular reign, but it was a peaceful reign. It was like Tola. You know, it was a nice, steady, peaceful, quiet reign. And yet he had a lot of sons. They had a lot of cities, a lot of donkeys to ride. But he was a Gileadite. And you're going to find in the next chapter, the other deliverer, Jephthah, was a Gileadite as well. Now, Jair reigned for 22 years. God called him, he called Tola, and used each one of them. They didn't seek the spotlight. Abimelech did. They didn't seek to have a name. They didn't try to be king like Abimelech did. They were more, you know, subtle, and they just wanted to serve the people. They just wanted to be what God wanted them to be. Didn't want to be a somebody. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah, it said, "Seek ye great things for thyself, seek them not." You know, don't look to your own press clippings or don't look for the pat on the back. You'll get that when you get in heaven. You'll get your rewards when you get there. You see, these are simple days under Tola, under Jair. Quiet, peaceful life in the rain. And that's the best, I think. That's the best when things go smooth. You know that the government and those leaders, they're not doing shenanigans. They're not doing some weird, weird things. You see, Jair, he was blessed, and it notes that. He had 30 sons who rode 30 saddled donkeys, and they were itinerant judges for their father. So they would go to these cities, these 30 cities, city to city to administer justice. So in that kind of reign, they weren't corrupt. They weren't doing some weird things. It was good. And it calls it the Havoth Jair, or the encampments, the city, the villages of Jair, these different villages and towns, and they're called cities. But what a great reign. What a good time there. Then it goes on, verse 6, and we'll go to verse 9. Then the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, served the Baals and the Ashtaroth, the gods of Aram, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the sons of Ammon, the gods of the Philistines. Thus they forsook the Lord and did not serve him. It's interesting, whenever anyone forsakes the Lord, they're going to serve somebody. Maybe the devil, maybe the Lord, as Bob Dylan said. But you're going to have to serve somebody. So whenever you leave the Lord, you're going to serve something. And notice all the gods they went after. Verse 7, it says, "And the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the sons of Ammon." Verse 8, "And they afflicted and crushed the sons of Israel that year." For 18 years, they afflicted all the sons of Israel who were beyond the Jordan in Gilead, in the land of the Amorites. And the sons of Ammon crossed the Jordan to fight against Judah, Benjamin, and the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was greatly distressed. Notice this cycle. Remember, we called it, it's a book of repeat offenders. They keep doing the same thing. It's a cycle. It begins again after Tola and Jair. Their reigns. That was about a 45-year reign. And so here, these good leaders are gone, and so the people go back into idolatry. They leave the Lord, and they go for these idols of these different nations. You see, Israel matched their old sins with new sins. They sinned before, but now they're going back to something new. Oh, yeah, the person, he came to the Lord, and he used to be a drunk. He used to visit this bar all the time. I'd see him there. He'd just get wasted. Oh, yeah, he went away from the Lord. He doesn't go to the same bar. He's found a new bar, but he still does what he did before. You see, that's what they're doing now. Maybe not the same sins, different sins, new sins, but they're sins. They left the Lord. You see, worshiping false gods, forsaking the Lord. And then the Bible says God's anger burned, or it flamed against them. And he handed them over to the power of their enemies. The power of their enemies, the power of the Philistines. And notice what happens. Whenever God lets us go and lets the enemy at us, it crushes us. That oppression, that trampling down, that's what it's saying here. Trampled them down. But you see, God's discipline broke them. And that's what it's for. God grieves over a backslidden or sinning person more so than a loved one, more so than leadership, a pastor. God grieves over. And that's what God's doing over them, but he must discipline them to try to bring them around. But notice this, Amnon, he crossed over Jordan and laid waste to Israel. We mentioned that, crushed them, verse 8. You see that? Just a crushing blow on Israel. You see, for the people of Israel, it wasn't one size fits all. You've heard that. You see, one God didn't fit all. They accumulated to themselves many gods. They imported many gods from many nations. And if you looked upon this from the outside, what a sad scenario. Because this was God's nation. These were God's people that served him at one time. And when you look from the outside, some of these other nations, it was degrading. It was humiliating to the people who once served that living God, but no more. You see, no nation, no other pagan nation with any sense of honor would change gods. Well, they had their own god. Dagon, gods of the Philistines. You know, they had their god. But it's so sad, Israel, in their downward spiral, they became a byword. I think of America at this point. Some of you, maybe not old enough to remember, you know, when I was in grade school, I was just a kid. We used to do a Pledge Allegiance to the flag. We used to sing, you know, songs about God and praises to God. And in school around Christmas, you'd have Christmas carols that would speak about Christ. And at that time, you know, it was such a healthy nation, one nation under God. We've become like Israel. And look at what our society is doing. Oh, they don't have little figurines to represent their gods, but just look at the lifestyles. Look at what they're pushing in society and on our kids and what the adults are doing. It's almost a scandal sheet to even read the newspaper, read the news. A scandal sheet, just things that are just so perverse. But you see, that's what happened to Israel when they left the Lord. They had so many of these gods. And yet no nation would ever change gods. And yet it really becomes, Israel becomes a byword at this point. But God still loves them. God still loves us. He loves the world. That's why he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we don't know. Maybe they adopted their gods, because sometimes they would do this. They adopted their gods and became friends with their gods. They curried favor with these surrounding nations by adopting their gods. But you see, it backfired on them. Oh, well, I'm just going to compromise. Yeah, we've got our god, but we want to accumulate to the other gods so that we can be friends with the other gods. It backfired on them because those other nations became their enemies and those other nations oppressed them. The Bible says friendship with the world is enmity or hostility toward God. The Bible says if we're a friend of the world, we're going to be an enemy of God. You can't serve two masters. You see, and so I think just the illustration here, you find that you can't just, you know, try to, you know, have one foot in the world and one foot in the Lord. We're in the world, but not of the world. You know, we don't adopt the world's lifestyle. And so one of the things I think it's interesting that you don't see here is they don't include Jehovah in their plethora of gods. They don't include him in their deities. You see, they cast him off. That's what it's saying here. They cast him off. They forsook him. Cast him away, your Bible might say. Jesus told us in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. For either they will hate the one or love the other, or they will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. to think that you can serve two gods, God and the world. We're in the world, you know, but a light touch with the world. You make a living, you maybe have fun, you have friends, maybe you have things where you're dealing with people in the world, but you're trying to bring Christ to them. You're not doing what they're doing. I definitely, my friends, anyway, when I got saved, couldn't do what they were doing. It was radical. You know, they were getting drugged. They were, you know, partying and drinking and, you know, carousing and all that stuff. And you can't do it. You're in the world, but not of the world. You see, so you can't serve two masters because soon you're going to find that you completely forsake God. And then you begin to serve the other, whatever it might be, that you're going after. And you're trying to do both, trying to juggle both. You see, if God is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. You've got to serve him. And he lays that out very plainly. You can't serve two masters. So notice that God judged them. He judged them to bring them around to repentance. He judged them and they fell into the hands of their enemies, the Philistines. It says they were, if you look at the map, they were on the southwestern portion and the Amorites on the northeastern portion. And here Israel is right in between. And they're being afflicted. They're being crushed. They're being punished for 18 long years to learn their lesson. That's what it was, to learn the lesson. It's not worth serving false gods and leaving the Lord. You see, God allowed the enemy. In verse 9, we see it. He allowed the enemy to push into the territory, deep into the territory of the most prominent tribes for humiliation. Humiliation of the people. It pushed into Judah and Benjamin and Ephraim. These high-end, these renowned tribes. What a sad commentary of the wages of sin. You know, I've had friends, and one in particular, and he was really instrumental in my life when I first got saved. Out on the North Shore, I still remember him being at our house and just talking, and, you know, came from Costa Mesa under Chuck and stuff, and he was an inspiration, but then he backslid.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Repeat Offenders, Judges, chapter 10. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
Gather me, we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may your Spirit work within. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in the book of Repeat Offenders, Judges, chapter 10. Until then, aloha and agape.
will be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.